something went on here, something went on there. And
this time on TNT.
It's been a hot minute, but summer is in full swing, buds.
We talk about summer camp.
And my burps heard round the world. That's all coming up right now on TNT. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
6, 7, 8.
The British cunt.
Well, there is a British cunt.
Cunt.
Why? He's not British.
No. That song is, though.
I can't remember, get enough of you, baby.
Remember that guy really, he just kind of canceled himself. Like,
what happened?
What was like one of those things where you're like, usually something happens in the past and comes up and then you're like, okay, I'm out. But he was like active. He got all banged up at a concert.
He did?
Yeah, the last show that he did. And he was like yelling at the crowd, telling stupid stories that like he was inebriated to the point where he was just like he was doing like Heil salutes and stuff.
Oh,
like,
my gosh. Really
bad. Like,
so stupid. He just tapped out. He's like, I'm going to pre-cancel myself.
Real belligerent styles. But he wrote out some, it wasn't really an apology. It was just like, hey, you know, I have an illness, and if I don't get enough, whatever, nutrition or sleep, but it happens.
Oh, come on. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And he said, it's really hard for me to do a show, and that just takes too much out of me to do it, and I just kind of had a really bad experience.
Come on, man.
Yeah, and then he's like, because of that, I think I'm just retired. I'm done. I'm out. He literally just like retired from the band or whatever.
So there was nothing. There was nothing, like, no one came out of the woodwork from his past and said.
There was no like apology. Listen, I got a drinking problem. I've, you know, made a big mistake and I'm going into rehab. That there was none of that at all.
I didn't have dinner is the most high school explanation for getting banged up. I forgot to eat. So
the empty stomach excuse.
Did you ever cross paths with the Maps?
Smash Mouth? Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
Where? Like
festivals here and festivals around. I don't know, around America. I can't get enough of you, baby.
They have.
And that was like, they were like kind of capitalizing on the whole Austin Powers thing.
Right, exactly. You can, by that, what's the organ? Beep, boodle,
yeah, da, da, da. Yeah, like it's like 60s, like. Monkeys,
yeah,
the Monkeys showed, you know, like the hate Ashbury cheese,
right?
And Incense and Peppermint, you know that song?
Somebody once told me the world was gonna roll me,
you know, that original British one, Incense and Peppermint, so do it in mine,
yeah, right. What was their other jam, though? Might as well be walking on the sun.
Yeah, bop, walking bop, on
beep,
the
beep,
sun.
Bop, 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 beep, beep, boop, bop, beep,
and obviously, All Star was the big one,
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So like, they're not a one-hit wonder, that's for
Heck
sure.
No, they're a four-hit wonder. They're an exactly four-hit
really
wonder.
Big. Maybe there's a couple others, but yeah. That's a 98 jam.
So what he does is he hits one word. I can't get enough of you. Some
bye-bye.
That's pretty, once told me.
I think he's doing that like, back in the 60s, all British singers pretended to be from the South in the States, and all the South singers in America used to pretend they were British.
Interesting, right? I'm excited to talk to you. It's been probably the longest break we've ever taken.
And in a long time, yeah.
Instead of years, starting at the start, you were at the Train concert.
Oh, yeah, I did.
How was that?
Well, because I told you a long time ago, my buddy Matt Musty's playing with them, and I was just kind of go to see him and hang, but I saw their tour, the AM Gold, and they were playing all these, like, just hits from the 70s and...
They were?
And 80s, yeah, as well as their hits, but, like, it was almost like... one of those 70s TV shows, because they had the gold stage going. Remember, they used to have the TV shows where people would be performing and guests would come on and sing songs or whatever? It was that vibe. So Jewel was on the bill as well.
What?
So she was up there doing, like, Dancing Queen with Pat.
How was that?
Well, and the other thing that blows me away, and it's because it's a good... comparison to, because we were talking about the Maroon 5 show that I saw a few weeks ago, right? And now Adam Levine's voice is kind of like contained and not that big, and it kind of got that bothered me after a while live. But this Pat, man, this guy's like the whole other end of the spectrum, where it's like volume is not an issue whatsoever with his voice. Like, he has the mic, like, 10 inches away from his face on stage.
No way.
And it's so loud still, yeah. He's like, I don't need a mic, you one of those guys. Fuck a mic. Fucking mics are for wimps, one of those guys.
So do you think right? Like, Adam Levine was saving his voice?
No, that's all he's got, I'm saying.
So you're,
but this guy's like naturally just got one of these, just one of the more powerful voices that you'll ever hear.
Wow.
Especially for pop. Like we talked about that. Remember Ed was saying through like songwriting circles, he's a legend because he can just sing the top of, you know, the ingredients of a cereal box. And like, wow, that's catchy. Because of the skills, right? Like, everything just sounds all smooth and cool all of a sudden. But I think it was just interesting just to see that kind of powerful voice. Like, man, what, the guy can sing his ass off and always in key. So, very impressive.
How many?
Nice job, Dan.
How many Train songs can you name?
Well, we talked about Drops of Jupiter.
Yeah. Hey, Soul Sister, ain't that
Soul
Mr.
Sister,
Mr.
That's one.
That's them, right? And then play that song, the one that makes you do all night long.
You know more than I do, yeah.
Well, I feel like I know those three.
Well, I can't remember the... What was the sweet something or...
Oh, that's
girl's
Hazel's
name.
Sister.
The one from like the 90s. I can't remember. It's right around the 98 jam.
So he's done
for sure, eh?
So where were they playing?
They rip it out two months a year, sheds in the summer times, all amphitheaters around North America, and then shut it down for the rest.
Where were they?
At the Budweiser stage.
So that's how he's able to rip some Train tracks on Sirius Satellite the rest of the year.
What is that, his show?
Yeah, Train tracks.
Oh, yeah. Plus, they do the privates, too, right? They'll rip in and out to, like, whatever.
Yeah, of course they will.
You know it.
Dirty.
Just pounding in and out. Sneaky, sneaky millions.
I dig it, though. So who was there? Like, who is the average Train enthusiast?
I saw everybody from like...
Couples?
No, just a little bit everybody. Like younger people than you'd think. I think that's a thing now with like young kids. Like if they get fired up about anything in the 90s, it's like... I guess when we were kids, like, there were certain kids that liked 70s music.
Yep.
And you know what I mean? And that's it. That's a thing. So there's a lot of young kids singing every word, but...
Because it's classic rock.
Plus some older couples. A lot of people our age there, for sure. Definitely wasn't feeling out of place. I didn't want to go into the crowd because of the covesies. You know, it's not exactly gone.
Yeah.
But everybody was just like, I had a seat in the middle of like some 200 section, but I was just wandering on the aisles, staying kind of back.
So is Matt Musty a drummer?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
so
great drummer.
He drums with the Train. Is he a member of the Train, or he's like a fill-in guy?
He's their live drummer.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I think he's a member, I guess, as much as he could be a member. You know what I mean? To that. Definitely not like a Pat Styles, but...
And he's pulling serious cake. What's he driving?
I'm sure he is. Pat?
Yeah. No, not Pat. Matt Musty.
Well, I don't know. She's probably got some nice wheels.
Like a Tesla? Like a new Tesla?
I don't know. Maybe. I'll have to find him back in L.A. He's just, like, he's kind of, he's only been banging it hardcore for, like, 3 years or 4 years in terms of, like, well-known. Like, he's been working a long time. I remember when he was really young, just kind of DMing back and forth with him on social media as an upstart drummer. And it's nice to see him doing well.
Great.
Like, I love it when you see kids that are, like, just keeping in touch at a young age, and then all of a sudden they're crushing it around the world.
Like, so, dedicated maths.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot, like, that's my favorite move, is when you see a kid who's like, yeah, like, you know, listen to your music, and either they had a drum lesson or they reached out, and all of a sudden they got to that next level where they're trying to get to. And he's definitely one of those guys.
Like young Tim Oxford.
Exactly. Yeah,
so what have you been up to, bud?
Well, I mean, we had the Stomp the Stigma Tourney golf tournament.
How'd it go?
A couple weeks ago. It was another great year. Powerful day, as it always is. It was a lot of great people out. Kind of the same group that's always there. From members to the celebs like your Rod Blacks and Ken Reeds and Gilmores. And there's a lot of great people that come out every year. Obviously, Tim.
So where was it this year?
It's always at Summit.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if you moved because the boys moved.
No, we stayed there. And Ian and Bob and our bod Michael Landsberg was there, and just kind of a good group of folks, and the special Bob had an incredible speech as usual, and Marla and Lindsay and Jeff, his family. It's great to see them and hang out, and just kind of, I guess it's a day of celebration and mostly kind of mourning. So it's almost like everybody, there's a heavy feeling with it, but it's needed, I think, and especially that it's annual. And
yeah, it feels good.
Yeah. So it was just a special day, as always. And great for everybody. So that was I guess a couple weeks ago now.
Was old man Toolsy there?
Toolsy was there, yes.
How's he doing?
Mention him. He's doing great. I was also on Boomsies last week.
How did that go?
It was great. We actually talked a lot about the Stomp tournament on there because he, you know, we were able to recollect stories of the day together. Actually, there was a guy, Alex Pennycook, had a hole in one on the 15th hole.
No way.
How about that? Yeah. You don't see too many hole in ones. It was the first hole in one of the tournament. So
ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what did he get for that? Did he get a tractor?
25 grand. 25 grand.
Come on.
Yeah. That ain't nothing. That's something.
Who's Alex Pennycook?
He's bod. Just his dad, can't remember his dad's name, but I've played with them. They're members at Summit, and they're, you know, great folks, good people.
Nice.
So, yeah. He's a great golfer too, so it was nice to see him get a hole in one because we were riding Alex all day on his drives because he just pounds it out there like 300 yards.
Why, were you in his group?
Yeah, yeah. So that's what I mean.
So you witnessed it.
I witnessed it, yeah.
Crazy.
For sure.
Have you ever had one?
I have not. I have hit the hole. I've hit the stick. I've had twos lots of times, like, you know.
Tap in?
On a par four, like, I've had, like, you know, 160 yards out and made it from the fairway.
No.
That's not the same thing, yeah. But never a hole in one on a par three.
That's crazy, Jeremy.
Oh, yeah, you know. Better. I'll tell you, King's Riding, that golf course, the first hole, I hit a nice tee shot in the center of the fairway, and then I hit the second one, about probably 148 yards or something, in the cup.
Oof.
Next hole, par three, hit it in the water. Made it
double. No.
So right back to even on three.
No.
Oh, yeah, that's how golf gives it to you. Good times.
Oh, yeah, you have a good front, and you take your foot off the gas, and then you S the bed. Or if you have a terrible front, then you relax, and you start, your game is dialed, right?
How about this jam? I didn't know there was this big intro to this song. This is totally on the single. You'll see.
Oh.
Chumba Wamba.
Still a banger.
This band, little known fact, they're like hardcore, like, socialists, I guess you'd call them.
What do you mean?
Well, they're like everybody from the singers in the band and everybody that plays in the band, and then like the lighting guy or like the bus driver, they all share the songs, like the gig money.
Come on.
Yeah. Like if you're in the Chumbawamba group, it's like full on, it goes like Karl Marx vibes.
Well, I thought like
where everybody makes the same amount of money. What do you do? Well, I'm the lighting tech.
But doesn't UB40 do that?
Do they?
Yeah, because they have like 8 or 10 people in the band, so the sound guy is an equal partner.
Really?
Yeah.
They like playing arenas, and like the guy that's up in the lights,
equal member.
That's, no way.
Well, I might have it wrong, but the sound guy for sure.
But this thing was like anyone around in the group. But yeah, I mean, it's like it's deeper than that. Like, barely. Like, if you're talking to one of them, they'll start grilling you on like politics.
Have you ever crossed paths with them?
I think I've seen them at festivals and stuff. But like, yeah, there's like 30 of them.
30 Chumbawambas?
Yeah.
As I mentioned to you, we got a spring-free trampoline.
Yeah, and the spring-free, that's right.
It's nice. Funny that you should play Chumbawamba because I have one trick that I'm quite proud of, which is where I leave my feet, land on my back, and land on my feet again.
Oh, yeah, the pancake splat move or whatever.
Yeah, back, yeah, but I bounce back up, so I call it back up again. As in, get knocked down, but I get up again. That's what it is. I get up again. That's the name of my trick.
Do you sing it when you're doing
yes.
it?
Yes.
Do the girls like that, or are they like, really? Or is he still
they probably happy? Liked it the first 300 times.
Yeah. Like, oh, this okay. Like if I'm on a road trip with you.
Yeah.
And you got like
a like phrase of a song in my head.
Like the Entertainment Tonight one?
Oh, yeah.
The Luther Vandross.
First 6 times it's fun. Next 160 times it's not that fun. But then the 300th time, it's like, okay, I'll surrender. Entertainment
tonight. And you mentioned on the TNT IG that like the secret behind Phil Collins' belches.
Yeah.
If you care to explain.
Yeah. Philadelphia Collins on Trailer Park Boys, when he would get hit in the gut with a Bottle Kid's bottle or something, or get dragged by Ricky or something, would always burp, and the burps are mine. I would record them with Zan or sound guy in a empty trailer with a can of Diet Coke and some jumping jacks. And you have lived these firsthand.
Oh man, listen, I don't know where. I think we're out. Were we out west or out east? I think maybe
out west. The Panago.
There was a Panago pizza stop in like, I don't know, outside of Saskatoon or something. And we were driving to Calgary or whatever, like just like 8 hours or something. And you had a Panago pizza with onions on it.
Yeah.
And like, so like, I don't know, maybe 20 minutes after you finished, you led one of these. I was like, okay, that was like insane how loud that was and big it was. And then we kind of laughed about it or whatever. And then you might have even told me that story again of like, you know, that you did those burps. But then like 15 minutes later,
yeah.
And honestly, every 15 minutes for the rest of the day, that you were doing these things to the point where I was like, can you stop, please?
It's funny because you're so... you're so easygoing. Nothing surprises you, or if a flight gets canceled, no problem, whatever. But there are a couple of little things that you can't handle.
A couple? Well, 3,500. Oh, like your mouth, when you do it, you're not like with your mouth closed. Like it's like as wide as you can make your lip. It's like, like it's a wide, it's a,
like a hippopotamus. Like
you can fit
a,
you can fit a pool ball in your teeth. That's how big your mouth is when you're doing it. So it's not nothing. It's not a little thing. It's like, it's pretty obnoxious.
And there's something about, like, someone else's onions. That's not a thing that anyone needs to smell. I know, and once I start, I can't really stop, but it is bananas.
Like, it was, like... I get, like, that you still have to burp, but it doesn't have to be, like, you're on stage at Carnegie Hall. Like, on stage at like, Carnegie Hall. Like, it's a fucking performance. Like, like, it's gotta be so from the gut, like, way down. Like, you could just let a few burp, right? It's every time. It's like you got the big like horns on your head and the big dress. You know, like the guys who dress up like the Vikings and do opera. Like that's, you should have that get up on when you do it, because it's like, let me get this to the last guy in the back row.
I should have a chicken leg or a big turkey leg and a goblet full of me.
Like after a while I'm like, I know you're still feeling it, like really giving her, but like I'm definitely not, like stop. Like it's not coming across to me like how you're feeling it. Like I would love it if I was still feeling it how you are, but I'm not.
And there's 576 kilometers before we get to where we're going.
Yes. And there's no sign, like the contractions are actually getting closer together, like the birds. Like whatever was happening, the cycle of this shit, like it was going, like it wasn't going to the dark period.
No, it wasn't like thunder and lightning passing over. It was like the storm was stalled right over top of us.
What would have been great? It's like, oh, you got the stomachache or something, right? Like you gotta go to the bathroom to alleviate it or whatever. But no way, this was all up in your throat and it was not coming to your stomach for hours.
Man. The other thing that you don't love is the snap ride.
No, that's because the same thing is loud.
It's for like, some reason.
You're doing it at me. Like bump. I'm the rotted kind of. When I say snap ride, your hand is coming out as if you're hitting a ride cymbal with your right hand. So, like, what the fuck?
Well, so am I John Candy or Steve Martin? Or are we both in some
I'm
ways?
I'm sure we exchange roles at some point. Oh, man. Like, you know, I'm like, we got an 8-hour drive, and you're doing that anyway. Like, you're like, I'm going anyway.
The funny thing is,
doesn't matter if I'm tired or whatever, you're going.
The funny thing is, like, you know that noise that you sometimes make when you're being someone who's overreacting? That's your genuine reaction to the snap ride. Like, it's nails on a chalkboard for you. Like, ah! It really is.
Oh, man. Well, it's like, I know you have the same boundary. If like I start doing that greasy guy, like, hey, you wanna make a deal?
Yeah, like physical reaction.
You get so creeped out that you're like, I can't. You can't do it. You can't do that. Like that character doesn't get to go.
And that's the problem. I get the same 10 bars of a song in my head. And I just do them over and over and over again.
Well, because sometimes I'm like, if you're doing snap ride guy, and like if you're doing snap ride for 8 hours, there's probably moments where it's like, hey, I wonder if Jer wants to hear snap ride guy right now. Probably not. Fuck it, I'm going anyway.
Yeah. Hey, he's asleep. He won't even hear it. Bop. Ba-da-da, 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 ah!
I think it's almost like, well, I'm driving, so I get to be snap ride guy anytime.
Snap ride.
Sometimes I need to be snap ride guy to stay awake.
Ah, that's good stuff.
Oh man, good laughs today.
Super good laugh.
But we got lots of all kinds of 98 jams.
Okay, hit one that'll take us to break, and when we come back, I want to play a game that I thought up. It's sort of in the vein of some games we've played before, but I think you'll dig it.
The boy is mine. Remember this jam?
No.
The Boy Is Mine with the big intro.
Oh, Brandy and Monica?
Yeah.
I didn't remember the intro.
Excuse me, can I please talk to you for a minute?
See, that's what I don't like about this Apple Music is they give you the... Let's go. Here we go. Let's go out on this. Here we go.
Do you want to hear a little snap ride?
Yeah, hit it. You're rushing it.
Be right back, bud.
All right. Good old Green Dot.
An unlikely choice for the Seinfeld finale, wasn't it?
It was.
But kind of perfect.
Yeah, because that was like the song of 1998.
Yeah. imagine making a show, especially back then when it was on once a week and it was Water Cooler Talk Friday morning, and people were very clear about whether you nailed it or blew it or they were happy with it or disappointed. Imagine the pressure of writing the Seinfeld finale.
Didn't they bring... It was Larry David came back for that.
Had he gone? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, he left on like this seventh season or something like that. And it's kind of apparent if you watch the show like a lot, which I do with Annalise. She loves it, so she puts it on to... Like when she gets home from school, or now it's like
really,
she really likes watching it. So you get when you're seeing every episode like 50 times, you get a feel for kind of the series. And I think it made sense that he wasn't there, but also just the last couple seasons of that show. There's some of the funniest concepts, like the Merv Griffin one, for example, when Kramer just happens upon the Merv Griffin set on the side of the road in a dumpster and decides to set it up in his house. And that, like, his house is like when you walk in, all of a sudden you're on the Kramer show and he's pretending to be like,
yeah, right,
the talk show, and that everyone's a guest. And like, that's just so out there and crazy and kind of a little far removed from like the earlier seasons where stuff that happened wasn't that nuts, but it was kind of crazy. But I just think it's a really funny show, like in terms of simple laughs that are continual.
Well, and it also,
I can put it on, it always makes me laugh every time.
It also is the very definition of situation comedy. Yeah. Like they put the characters who you know so well in a situation. And I often cite Seinfeld as an example of knowing the character so well that when... something happens, immediately the audience is like, oh my God, how's George going to react to this? Because we know he hates honey. Right?
Yeah.
When you know your characters that well, that the audience gets there before you do, that's a sweet spot.
I thought it was funny that Jason Alexander mentioned that some of the things that he felt that were happening in the script early on, he would go to Larry and be like, listen, I just don't feel like...
Yeah, no one would react this way.
Yeah, and he's like, but it happened to me, and that's how I reacted. So the idiosyncrasies of Larry David, which you kind of see more in Curb Your Enthusiasm, are so inherent. I guess it's part of every character, it seems, goes through a Larry David thing. Like, I think anytime something embarrassing happens to either Jerry or George, it probably happened to Larry for real in life.
Do you think Larry David is a good person?
I don't know about that. I guess. I've never heard him do anything bad or anything terrible. But, I mean, I think he's kind of open with that crotchety side of himself, or the selfishness that he is open about, I guess. So, I don't know. He golfs all the time. He'd probably be fun to golf with.
He does?
Yeah.
Wow, he does not strike me as a golfer, whatever that means.
He golfs every day. I think that's probably what he does most.
Really?
He's at Riviera playing golf, yeah.
What's Riviera?
Just a fancy golf course in L.A., like the Palisades.
Huh. But, I just can't imagine him like getting into the zen of it. Maybe that's what he needs.
Yeah, I guess. It's a lot of... he golfs with all his buddies, and it's like, I think his buddies were a lot of the people that were in Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Right.
So I don't know. It's... I don't know. I think Jerry might be a good person. Like, he's kind of... He was so clinical in his comedy and safe, yet, like... I think, I don't know, it seemed to me that, like, I'm sure a lot of the stuff that he said comically, even in that show, wouldn't work out now and is kind of off color now. But generally, he was pretty good about not making fun of specific things or people, or, you know what I mean, types of people, and more situational things that happen to anybody, you know?
Yeah.
And giving that perspective across the board. But I think it, just one of those shows that doesn't stop being funny. I love Lucy's like that. That show was on, and if it's on and I'm watching it, I'll probably laugh within 5 minutes, you know, at some point.
Another situation comedy.
Right?
Remember the episode of Seinfeld where they couldn't find the car at the airport? Like, yeah, well, the whole thing was just in the parking garage.
Yeah, they were. Kramer bought the air conditioner, and they couldn't find the car for the whole time. Yeah.
Classic. Simple premise.
Yeah, they all, two of them get caught peeing.
Did we...
taking a piss.
Did you watch Only Murders in the Building?
What's that, a show? Or
yeah, with Steve Martin and Martin Short and Selena Gomez.
No. Did you see it?
Yeah, mostly what I'm... it's a great premise. These three people who are experiencing sort of life stalls for different reasons come together because there's a murder in their building, and they make a podcast about the murder in the building. So this unlikely trio finds themselves sort of working together to solve the crime. Steve Martin and Martin Short are obviously monsters, but I was really impressed with how Selena Gomez can hang with them. Like, that would be a really daunting task for any actor. And she's really watchable on screen. But it reminded me, it's really well written. It reminded me of the importance of a good premise. That is a unique premise that I have never seen before. So I've been challenging myself as I try to kind of develop new shows and stuff to not start with anything I've heard before. And you realize how much, like, she's a cop, he's a lawyer, they're doctors. There's so much stuff that, like, you can't even get a sentence in before you're like, man, I've seen that so many times.
Yeah, for sure.
So a different setting is a good start, but I just really like the premise is probably better than the show itself. But I like that premise. That is a unique premise.
Mm-hmm. I'll check it out for sure. Hey, I'm looking out the window and I just remembered another thing we did was Lisa's brother Clay came by and we got this pear tree that was dying out and gone within like a half an hour.
What did he do? Bring a chainsaw?
Yeah, I brought the Husqvarna.
What was wrong with it?
I don't know, but like the pears were turning black and falling off, like all little, and every leaf was just like getting crushed on the bark. It was just diseased, period. So anyway, it was not that big, but like to see him tear it apart, and we got after it real quick and got it, and they were coming for the yard waste in like any minute style, so we were trying to do it as fast as possible, but to see the tree there and then no tree there like an hour later with no scraps.
So did he get the trunk and the roots out?
No, we just got her flat.
It wasn't
that big a tree that were, it would have just been like wrecked the whole yard just to get a bunch of smallish roots, you know?
So what did you put over it?
Like, right now it's just dirt, so we'll probably put some sod, some grass over it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's now so satisfying, isn't
that,
it?
That was right up against the spring free. So that's why the kids weren't playing on the trampoline as much, because of the branches kind of poking into it. So now the branches are all gone and can rip on it again. But you didn't mention, are the kids loving it? Are the girls digging it?
Yeah, big time. Free?
It's a great trampoline.
Yeah, it is. What can your guys do, like flips?
Yeah, they're big time. Jack Jack is probably the most skilled on it.
So
where he can do a thing where he does flip one way and then a flip the other way.
Wow.
Or like bouncing flips, so it's like a flip and then a flip and then a flip. I think he did 20 in a row.
Whoa.
So yeah, he's got the most skills.
Can he do a back up again?
Oh yeah.
Or get up again?
He can do the land on the knees and then flip from the knees.
Wow.
Or the backwards flips.
Crazy.
Yeah. You know, like, or the flip from one side where you fly in the air and flip and bounce and then go back to the other corner. Like, those kind of, the more, like, I don't know. It's more of a, it's not a flip in one spot. It's kind of a flip across the room.
Yeah. So he's into it.
The one we have is the four banger. So it's got four different spots to jump to.
What do you mean it's a four banger?
A four banger. So it's like there's four people can jump on it at the same time.
Must be nice. How big is it?
It's pretty big. Yeah, it's the biggest one.
Oh, I think we got the medium, 7 by 11 feet.
Yeah, this thing has got, well, you know how they have jump spots? So like they have the single jumps one and then they have a double two space jump one, because they're not exactly circular, right? Either sometimes they're more oval, and this one's kind of a squared circle. But the only reason we got it was because all the kids wanted to jump at the same time and they were going to fight about it. And that ends up not being the case a month after you buy it. But
right.
At the time, they were like, we have to have this and this because we went. I don't know if you went to the same thing where you, or you bought it at Canadian Tire, but we went to the place, the actual Spring Free showroom. So they're all there and you get to try them all out.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's why they're like went for the big guy.
We ordered it from the Canadian Tire, and they also include, they don't include, you have to pay for it, but someone will come to your home and set it up. So smart.
Which you have to do. You got to do that. Doing it yourself, it's very complicated with all those little parts. And if you do something wrong or if you break something.
Well, yeah, I asked you if it was money well spent, and you said for sure it was.
Yeah.
So there's a guy who whose name is John, and he has a business called The Assemblers.
They just assemble anything?
Anything. Like, you buy a couple of dressers from IKEA called The Assemblers, and they'll come over to your home and put it together. Like, what a genius service really that is. Because how many people buy this stuff on Wayfair or at Jisk or one of these places? Like, he's assembled.
Or what's the other one? Sheen?
Yeah. Well, is that clothes that you order on the internet?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
But like these places that you get a 1,000 parts to something, I would much rather John come and do it and know that it's done properly because he's done it a dozen times.
That's when I call Jet and we just have a party.
Which he digs?
Sure. Yeah, for sure.
So what does it take to get him in the driveway? Like some beers and promise of laughs?
Yeah, exactly. That's it. Yeah.
Well, that's a good deal.
Because we don't see each other enough. Actually, I'm going to go see him this week. So that's good. And my mom.
Fun.
Yeah.
I can't believe how fast summer is flying by. I've been working on Prince Edward Island some, as I mentioned, on this show called Digstown. So, been going back and forth a couple times. Man, I love that place in the summertime.
Yeah.
It's the best. I was just walking by the place yesterday where we went for lobster after the OLP Canada Day show.
Oh, yeah.
Years ago.
That little house place.
Yeah.
That's still banging?
Still banging.
Same trip?
Same trip. And then I made a little road trip to New Brunswick for Keepers with my buddy Adam McKay to go visit some of the liquor stores and just say hi to the buds.
Oh, yeah.
We're selling it.
How's it going with the Keepers?
Good. Sold out in Nova Scotia pretty much. We've re-upped and some supply chain issues, so it's going to be a few weeks till we get our next order.
Hey, but man.
This was an observation that I had. I was at two liquor stores in Fredericton, and by the time we got to one in Rothsay, it was late in the afternoon on a holiday weekend. They were just crazy busy. Mm-hmm. This is my observation. People working at the liquor stores are so happy. And I don't know if it's just this particular liquor store that I went to. A woman named Sarah was the manager. People are walking around smiling. It was the...
What's going on there?
I don't know. Very eclectic group of people working there. But everyone is so happy and loves their job. And I guess in a way, it's a government job. So you get good benefits. They make a great wage. People that come in there are wanting to buy something that makes them happy. You can show them different options of things. In each of these stores, I don't know if it's the case everywhere, but they had product specialists. So it sounds like about 50% of the people that walk into a liquor store know where they're going, know what they're looking for, won't be swayed. Of the other 50, 30% of them might ask for a recommendation. Hey, what's new? What could I try? I'm looking for a wine that's kind of sweet. I'm looking for something that's going to peel my paint. So like anything, there's a pretty limited window. And so the best way to get to those people is to, you know, befriend the product specialists.
Yeah. Well, it's like being a band when you get like go to the record stores and say hi.
Exactly. And well, yeah. Same with when our book was out. Stop into Chapters and say hi. Yeah. But I like that despite the fact that technology has changed so much in the world, going to meet someone face-to-face and shake their hand and say thank you is still the best way to do anything.
Absolutely. For sure.
So I really enjoyed going on that trip, and it's pretty fun to see that it's selling okay.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to wear the beard at events anywhere?
I haven't had to do that yet.
That would be great. I would like to see that.
Yeah, just, me
like,
too.
Stand in there.
Might wait for winter events before I wear the beard anywhere.
And the best is it's a non-speaking gig, right?
Yeah. He doesn't say much. He said finders keepers at the end of the commercial.
Yeah.
But Daz 8. So it's been a very maritime summer, like lake swimming and pool swimming and... a little bit of beach action. Yeah.
Yeah, we hit Muskoka for a week. That was nice.
How are you doing up there? Was that like jumping off the boat shed into the water styles?
Yeah. That's the same place that we always go. And our good friends. And we have a great time every time.
What do you pound for food up there?
We go to the food land in town there in Port Carling, and we just load up on stuff to cook. So we had whatever, from burgers to chicken to spaghettis.
So this is a multi-dwelling sort of property. Do you get your own dwelling with its own kitchen, and you guys kind of cook for yourself?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, for sure. Well, there was no one else there at the other cottages when we were there, really. So it was just kind of really nice and quiet before the long weekend in July. So it was perfect.
Nice.
Weather was actually nice and hot, like 30 plus. So it was good for swimming.
So you're jumping off the deck into the thing.
Jumping off the deck. I don't do the off the top of the boathouse move, but Annalise and Jack did that. Annalise did it like 8 times and, of course, got like water in her ear.
Oh, no.
That's the thing you got to be careful about when you're doing those jumps. And it's also good to a little diver's trick from Lisa's brother, Clay. If you put a little tiny bit of peroxide in each ear before you do that stuff, you won't get an ear infection.
Come on.
Staves it off. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Little tip for all the buds.
Shug went to sleepaway camp for the first time.
Really? How was that?
Big Cove, which is a YMCA camp.
Yeah,
and
nice.
I think it's the oldest camp in Canada or North America. It's been around for a long time. But she is a girl who enjoys the comforts of home, but she's also a highly social animal. So it was bananas to just put her out into the world for 5 days, but she dug it.
Wow. Did she have a night of like missing mom and dad?
Yeah, she had one of those.
Yeah, fine, no problem.
They went on an overnight canoe trip, and it was pouring rain, and their tent was a bit of a river.
Oh.
So I think that wasn't...
That's pretty advanced right away, going on a canoe trip on your first thing.
Yeah, I know. I didn't realize that you'd do that. Staying overnight. Yeah.
That's pretty hardcore.
It is hardcore.
Yeah, we're just going out for its 4-hour canoe boat. So far, we're going out so far that we can't get back, that we have to stay somewhere else.
Well, plus there are dudes there, and it's kind of 12 to 17, so she's 12. But yeah. The idea that there are, like, dudes with beards that drove themselves there was like, wow, that's quite a different age gap.
Yeah, in the same group.
Yeah. But they keep them fairly sequestered. It's the thing that I like is...
check guys with beards driving
themselves. Yeah. I'm going to camp, Mom.
You're going to see you later.
Yeah. Who are you, the camp director? No, I'm Jackson. I'm in cabin 7.
You guys let me know if you need anything, right, to the other kids?
Need a hand with your bag. But generally, they keep them fairly sequestered. And the thing that I like about it is you have to stash your devices. So it's crafts and it's gaga ball and canoeing and flipping canoe. Like, it is the most
doodle
wholesome
jump and
fun.
And running runabouts and then the stories over the fire.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is wholesome, wholesome fun.
That's awesome.
Which I dig.
Did you go to summer camp?
Big time. I went to Camp Getty in Pictou County, Nova Scotia, and loved it. Went for like way too long. Like, I was probably 15 the last time I went. Which is getting, that's
not bad though. Enough. That's still, no, that's good.
But there was a counselor there named Alex who became a friend, and he and I played music together. And at a certain point, the other counselors were like, dude, if you're going to kind of hang out with a counselor and like play music and kind of on the friend level, you probably don't need to come as a camper anymore. But I loved it for all the same reasons, canoeing and all that stuff.
I went to Camp Kitchikawana in grade 5 or 6, grade 6 or something like that.
Was it churchy?
No, just it's with the public school, so not churchy at all. More like get up in the clean your cabin or get up and do the swim so you can win the silver toilet seat, like that styles.
I think there was a gold dustpan at this camp. That's good camp stuff.
Right. So achievements to wake up or clean your cabin.
What do you get the silver toilet seat for?
Cleaning the cabins.
Oh. Why a toilet seat, I wonder?
I don't know. It's something like you said, something kitschy and it's sitting up there in the mess hall, big silver toilet seat, painted toilet seat.
Kids love the camping.
Yeah,
I think
it was a good time.
I think it was really
definitely
fun.
You learn something every time. I remember I did many things.
How many years did
then,
you go?
Back then, it's just once, but like it was a lot of stuff happened in those 2 weeks.
Yeah,
but like, and I think there was like the counselors were all kind of hanging out. Back then, it was different rules, I guess, with how stuff happened.
I was kind of wide open.
It's a little more wide open, man. There were some sketch characters around, and some of the kids were bad, right? Doing crazy stuff.
So what were people doing?
Like, insane, man. Like, there was, like, the one kid that, like, was the tough guy that would beat everyone up if they tried him, and walking with his arms all wide. And he had, like, a big friend that was, like, his muscle. Like, they weren't there from a school in, like, Collingwood or something. It was a bunch of different schools. And there was, like, groups and, like, cliques of different kids.
Yeah, definitely.
In our cabin, too, there was kids from all over the place. But there was this one kid who was, like, I can't even explain it other than like he was like, hey guys, look, in the middle of the night with a flashlight. And we're like, what? And he's like, look. And he's like got a fully erect wiener. It's like standing up straight with a flashlight on it. I'm like, why are you showing us this?
What?
But at the same time, it was like the fucking massive wiener, like his huge wiener. I guess he was trying to show off, but then like all of a sudden from outside we could hear, hey, what are you guys doing? Like two guys watching from outside.
No. Counselors?
I think so. Either. Yeah.
Hey guys, is this normal?
Like, guys, quit it. Quit it. Yeah, like quit it.
The flashlight on the bird is a trick like, I haven't. Like,
what is that, man? Like, what's that about?
So did everyone laugh?
Yeah, of course. But it was just like, why the hell is he doing that? I remember I was with my, like, Alex was in the cabin with me.
Your buddy Alex? Riley.
Yeah, that's, we were both, I guess, what, 11 years old or something. Yeah, he was there. He saw it. I think I had a lot to do with it, like Alex being there, and just that was just the tip of the iceberg, no pun intended, of just like the crazy stuff that was going on with this kid.
What kind of camp was this?
Normal camp, man. Like, I'm sure it was totally like the same as anyone else, but this, like, we just, I don't know, there was, it was the 80s, right? There was crazy kids back then.
I feel like there were crazier kids back then too. Like, I went like, to like, you know, like the kid Steven Pickabum.
Well, like the, you know, the bad kid in Bad News Bears, like that's on the dirt bike and smoking darts.
Yeah, like those like kids that, were
those
there.
Those kids, yeah, for sure.
Sneak into the woods, kids.
Where did you stay? What with who? Steven Wamackinaw?
Pickabum. Like there were always the. Smell my finger kind of kids. Like, what do you...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the pick a fight kids, right?
Yeah, the those kids were there too.
Like jail, just seeing what you got. Just seeing if you got any salt by shoving you around. Everybody gets a little shove around by the shove around guys.
At Camp Getty, we were doing the Lord's work. So there was a lot of like, let's have Bible study for 20 minutes and let's have vespers circles, before bed.
Circle square ranch styles.
Yeah.
Right? All of a sudden throwing up the prayer bomb.
And there was a lot of like, oh, the Lord is good to me. Yeah, so I thank the Lord. Yeah. Some of those like, everyone like snap right. Giving me the things I need. The sun and the rain and the apple seed. Like long picnic tables and everyone turns bird to bum. And like hands on the shoulders and rocking back and forth.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Ridiculous.
I wouldn't have wanted to be in front of your cabin mate.
What's that? The big spooning each other for the, in the game, in the song?
Yeah.
That was a thing?
Yeah.
Lying on the ground?
No. No.
Or standing up.
It's not like the each other. Centipede.
No, but what the fuck is that move? Like you're turning around and you're squished up against the next person?
Well, there's like, you're on a, wait a sec.
Like, why does that gotta happen in the song? You're singing all this stuff and then all of a sudden you're snuggling wieners.
Well, I don't, it's not how I remember it.
There's some creepy dude that like set that whole scene up.
He's like, okay, this is where we all spoon.
Little
okay.
Dance routine, some creep salad.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
You grab the guy ahead of you and you rock him. You rock him. You rock him.
Holy shit. The guy's all serious. The leader guy when he's saying that part.
Wait a second. In hindsight.
Okay, now grab.
As long as you chant it. You take your little hand and you stroke the guy's face. And you stroke it. You stroke it. You rub him on the chin. Like, wait, that's weird. Come to think of it, that's weird.
What's the rocket thing again? Is that a real thing?
No!
Okay.
No, I just made it up.
Feels like a part in the song, though.
Mm-hmm. You rock guys, it. Like, you rock it.
Big, the leader guy's a Jim Perry-looking mask. He's all way into it.
Mm-hmm.
And you rock it. You rock it. You rock it. Rock it. Rock it. I'm
so serious. And rock it. Hey, we're out of time.
He's all sweating. Okay, kids.
That's it, bud.
Let's take a break, kids. Oh, man.
You rock it. All right. You rock it. You really, really rock it. Squeeze tighter and hold on tighter. And don't let them go. Okay, bye. Good job, bud.
Yeah, bud.